Action, Human Rights on Film, presented by the Northwest Film Center. While cinema provides entertainment and escape, for many filmmakers and viewers it is a vital portal into the lives of others, a medium of engagement, and a powerful tool for social action. Films will be shown from Thursday, October 6th through Wednesday, November 9th and include the films Familia, Sing Your Song, An African Election, Windfall, and more. Again, that's Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, presented by the Northwest Film Center, located at the Witzel Auditorium, 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information about the films can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 21st, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, just we're going to be speaking today with Stephen Zunis once again, talking about Gaza and the bipartisan war on human rights. If anyone out there has any doubts as to the moral foundation of the Democratic Party in 2014, a close look at the collusion between the Democrats and the Republicans on basically the war of human rights that has gone on and continues against the Palestinian people, and particularly the people of Gaza. During and after Israel's war in Gaza, bipartisan congressional majorities worked to undermine war crimes investigations by the United Nations and human rights groups. Zunis has a piece out right now, and we put links to that so you can read the whole thing. We won't have time during the program to address all of the points in this, but the 7 weeks of attacks this summer shocked even Ban Ki-moon, somewhat obtuse head of the United Nations, was virtually brought to tears at the scale of the destruction of basically a civilian population in a contained area. First, they prevent the people from leaving. You can't leave Gaza. People who live in Gaza can't go visit friends and relatives. They can't do business beyond the borders of Gaza. And those are the conditions under which Israel launched this brutal, vicious attack that essentially violated every standard of decency, every statute regarding the undertaking of war against sovereign nation. Gaza is not a sovereign nation. It's a population, a very dense population of civilians. So we will be speaking with Stephen Zunis on that. The Obama administration is debating internally whether to overturn the ban on cruelty, which has been mandated by the Detainee Treatment Act. I will be speaking with Marcy Wheeler on that issue tomorrow morning. Before we move on to talking about Gaza, Alberta-based TransCanada, that's the company that operates the Keystone XL pipeline, was recognized this week, wait for it, for leadership on climate change. That's right. TransCanada got an award to the shock of environmental activists. TransCanada was included as a corporate climate leader. Well, yeah, it is, but just leading in the wrong direction on carbon disclosure projects, climate performance leadership index of 2014. That's right, people. More on that in just a moment, because we've got Stephen Zunis, who may not be able to join us for very long, but for now, we're very fortunate to have him on the show today. Welcome back, Stephen.
Great to be with you.
This is an amazing piece that you've written here, The Gaza and the Bipartisan War on Human Rights. This is something people on the left talk about all the time, but without really understanding the architecture of the collusion between the two parties to basically deceive the public and to interfere with a proper United Nations investigation. Your piece, and I believe it's on the very last page, the bottom line is that there is currently a large majority of both parties willing to undermine and discredit United Nations agencies and reputable human rights groups. Can you take us a brief romp through this with this amazing piece up to that point, because it is pretty staggering.
These resolutions and these public letters that were passed during the height of the carnage this summer go well beyond simply the perfunctory pro-Israel statements, go beyond reiterating Israel's right to exist and right to self-defense. These directly contradict empirical findings by officials of the United Nations on the ground, by Amnesty International, by Human Rights Watch, by other groups. It's a real scandal, to be honest. And what's disturbing about it, frankly, especially for Oregon listeners,
yeah,
is that both senators, Wyman and Merkley, signed on to these things. Wyman, in particular, he went on just beyond resolution. And even claimed, for example, that the United Nations investigation into war crimes was biased against Israel, and what opponents of the carnage were simply saying was the fact, quote, the fact that Israel has effective defenses against rockets aimed at its citizens. he justified this by claiming that Hamas used human shields, as if all 1,500 civilian deaths were the result of human shields, and which is particularly ironic because neither Amnesty International or Human Rights Watch nor the United Nations nor observers, journalists in the New York Times, BBC, etc., found a single case of Hamas using human shields. And even if they had used human shields, international law is very clear that that still doesn't give you a right to kill civilians. It's like if some bank robbers ended up taking some tellers and customers hostages and were shooting police, that wouldn't give the police the right to kill everybody, including the hostages, and say, it's not our fault, the bad guys are using human shields.
Yeah, collateral damage.
So basically, is what Senator Wyman is saying, that if there are terrorists there in a crowd urban area, it's a free fire zone, that all the civilian deaths are the responsibility of the civilians fighters in that area. The implications of this go well beyond Israel-Palestine. He is essentially rewriting international humanitarian law, by justifying a military operation which killed over 500 children. That's more children than there were Hamas fighters killed. And he's saying that this is legitimate and gives Israel 100% support. And it's not because there's political pressure. The majority of Americans believe that either both sides were at fault or Israel was primarily at fault. But what Wyman and by extension Merkley and a somewhat more mildly worded resolution are saying, it is 100% Hamas's fault.
It's no surprise, of course, that Senator Ron Wyden is the beneficiary of massive amounts of AIPAC campaign contributions every time there's an election comes around, cycle comes around. So last time I believe it was something in the neighborhood of 40,000, which eclipsed many other donations that were handed out during that last Senate election. You write that those little questions are broadly supported bipartisan efforts. Barbara Boxer, too. All the leadership, all the Democratic really. Is this because, and I shouldn't ask you a yes or no question because that would be really stupid, but let's see if I can rephrase this. How is AIPAC money influencing some of these peculiar positions that Democrats have taken on the issue? Because it is so counter to everything the image that the Democratic Party.
Remember, the Democratic Party initially supported U.S. intervention in El Salvador and supporting that brutal military junta. The Democratic Party initially supported Indonesia's brutal occupation of East Timor, which is even more bloody than what Israel's ever done. The Democratic Party originally opposed sanctions against apartheid South Africa. The Democratic Party originally supported the Vietnam War. What changed was that people organized to fight them. And so it would be naive to say that AIPAC and allied political action committees aren't one factor in all this. But I think an even bigger factor is that the liberal left, at least, has refused to make this an issue. That they have refused to hold people accountable. If Wyman and Merkley knew that they would lose part of their liberal base by supporting these resolutions, they'd have to think twice. But the way it is right now is that this whole thing about AIPAC becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where a lot of liberal Democrats say, oh, they can't help it. AIPAC is making them do it. And so let's not protest or let's not make a big deal about this. It almost parallels these anti-Semitic stereotypes about, oh, this rich cabal of Jews behind the scenes is really running things, so they can't help it. The only people responsible for Merkley and Wyman's vote are Merkley and Wyman. And the voters of Oregon need to hold them accountable for this. They need to know that the right wing pressure is not the only pressure out there when it comes to Israel-Palestine, especially since, again, this issue goes well beyond Israel-Palestine, because the implications of what some of these letters and resolutions said, again, go well beyond it. I mean, if Israel can kill 1,500 civilians, attacking so-called terrorists in crowded urban areas, what's that stopping the United States from bombing Mosul or Ramadi or cities in Iraq and Syria that are currently controlled by ISIS and killing thousands of civilians in the process?
Yeah, exactly. We're closing in on time, but I want to ask you really briefly about this. Is the United Nations is trying to do an investigation into what happened in Gaza? No one has said war crimes yet, but it seems evident that war crimes were committed. The United Nations. So, obstacles in the way of the United Nations. What is being done about that? And where do we stand right now? Because I know that a lot of people do want to know.
The United Nations Human Rights Council has performed a commission of inquiry led by a well-respected Canadian international law professor and their other prominent. A jurist on it as well. The United States was the only member of the 60-member UNHRC to vote against this investigation. Unfortunately, the resolution mentioned only Israel by name and not by Hamas, and that's led people to say, "Oh, this is going to be biased." But both in the letter, details of their mandate, as well as statements by Mr. Chabas, Professor Chabas, the head of the commission, as well as by the High Commissioner for Human Rights, they all say they're going to investigate all war crimes, including those by Hamas, such as lobbing rockets into civilian areas in Israel. So they're going to cover both sides, and this idea that it's that people saying it's so supposedly inherently biased is simply not true. People like Senator Wyman, who've been attacking the United Nations with all the fervor of a John Birch Society member, should note that they should not prejudge it. That indeed this is going to be an impartial investigation, and that both sides are guilty of war crimes. and that this effort to cover up for one of them because they happen to be a strategic ally of the United States is completely irresponsible.
An ally that has done nothing but cripple the U.S. efforts to understand or broker peace in the region, and it's a strange ally to have that has done nothing but harm American efforts. And the other thing, we're really out of time, but how can you call it a war if one side does not have any military at all except lobbing a rocket?
There were definitely war crimes on both sides, but given the firepower of thanks to the United States, it was definitely disproportionate. And again, the idea to say, as the vast majority of Congress said, that the five civilian deaths on the Israeli side were a result of murder and terrorism, but the 1,500 civilian deaths on the Palestinian side, were not the fault of the people attacking them, is ludicrous beyond words.
Thanks so much for that. My guest has been Stephen Zinnes, who's a professor of Middle Eastern Studies at UC San Francisco. Thanks again for that. This has been A Cascadia for Tuesday, October 21st, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand and take a look at the Citizen Review Committee as recommendations to the Portland Police Bureau. It is fascinating reading. Thanks for that.
Up next, it's Flashpoints, featuring an archival interview with the late investigative reporter Gary Webb, who wrote a three-part series called Dark Alliance in August 1996 for the San Jose Mercury News. His life is chronicled in the new movie Kill the Messenger. Also on the show today is an interview with reporter Reese Ehrlich about his new book Inside Syria.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. What we'll do is we'll begin with this excerpt of an interview I did with Gary Webb right before the end of his life, when he was extremely depressed, but he was still eloquent, articulate. He was struggling. We invited him here to the Bay Area to an event sponsored by KPFA. He was joined by Martha Honey, who was an early investigator on this story. And we wanted you to hear.